Sometimes change can feel scary, but it can also be exhilarating. A time to stretch our boundaries, embrace opportunity, and start something new. Welcome to the Baby Brunch Parenting Series, made just for you by BrightRock, the provider of the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. This is a Baby Brunch podcast. Welcome to the Baby Brunch podcast. Hello. I thought for this week I would bring my husband back. Hi, husband.
Good to be back.
Do you know why you're here?
I'm afraid to ask.
So I thought I'd bring you back because the last time we spoke, we had a lot of people who clicked through on the podcast. Thanks for your honesty and thanks for having the chat. But also there were comments that almost concerned me. People were saying things like, oh, it's nice to see that there's the perfect relationship. People were saying stuff like what their perception is about a perfect marriage. And I looked at the word perfect and it almost wanted me to unpack that part of it because as much as I know we have a great relationship and an awesome marriage and I dig you a lot, I was concerned for them because it was almost like the people that commented on the podcast and on social media on our post were saying that theirs is not perfect and it was something that they desired or wanted. And I wanted to bring it back to how do we talk about marriage and relationship and also let people know that there are times that we fight. Let's just call it that. That there's times where we don't get along.
I mean, as a starting point, there is no perfect marriage.
Because you've had two.
There are good marriages so far. So I'm on two so far.
How's that for you?
Waiting for three.
Hey.
What's his name? But I don't think there's a perfect marriage or a perfect relationship. There might be from the outside. But it's like anything else. You know, there's ups and downs with everything. That's just reality in life.
How do you know that? And I mean, this wasn't one of the questions that, because you're sitting across from me and you can't see what's on my laptop, but how do you know that this is the one that you want? Because you've been divorced. So how do you know that this is the relationship that you want to stay in?
It's a great question. I wonder how many people offer, like how many times a day or in your life do you ask that question back to yourself? I suppose it was kind of hard to answer. My short answer would be, if you don't want to be in something, you shouldn't be there, you know? And I suppose the short answer is that if you're unhappy with where you are and you're listening to this today, then it's not the end of the world. And there are people who can support you and there are ways that you can change your life and make it better for yourself. So if you're not in the right place or in the right relationship now, it doesn't mean you have to run away. But if it's not working, then it might not because perhaps it's not the right partner for you, you know? And everybody has ups and downs. And I think that's what you're alluding to is everybody has ups and downs. But what your future is and where you're going to be in 5 years from now is 100% up to you. You can't wait for other people.
What makes a relationship up? What makes a relationship happy for you to be in? Like I can tell you what my ups are. Like my love language is not diamonds and handbags and holidays and things like that. Like I want my partner, you, I want you to always communicate, and you know that I like a handwritten card, like on Mother's Day when the girls wrote me the card and, you know, they can hardly write. It was beautiful, you know. That for me is worth much more. That makes me happy. That makes me really, really happy. Or waking up nicely. That makes me feel good for the day, or knowing that I woke up in, like I always do my affirmations with my girls, I woke up in a life that I really like, you know? So what's your ups for you in a relationship? What makes you happy in a friendship, in a relationship?
I don't like fighting generally, and I don't like discontent and drama and stress.
Drama?
In a fight or flight scenario, I'm generally going to opt for flight. And so my happy is if things around me are happy and they're going the way I want, then that's I'm a fairly easy person to please in that space.
What makes you fight?
When I'm told what to do. I'm serious, like alpha male.
I married myself.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah. I really hate being told what to do. That's why I've become, I'm highly unemployable. That's why I'm my own boss, because nobody would. I don't like being told what to do. Been there, done that.
So what if I do tell you what to do? How do you get out of the fight? How do you make it? Because I like fighting with you. I enjoy a fight when I say the word fight, I'm saying ridikavel, nee, so woordwisseling. I'm the person that I want to talk about something right now. It mustn't wait. I want to get it out of the way. Therefore, you know, don't wait till tonight. I don't even care about timing. Can I talk to you, please? You know, I want to talk about it now and get it out of the way. And then if I don't get my way, then I allude to trigger points. You know, I know what will set people off. So to get their attention, because I want to talk about it now, I
think you're speaking of something which is really important in any relationship. And we started off by saying people are going to argue and fight. Like you're just, it's just whether you're in a romantic relationship or it's your best friend or it's your mom, there's going to be an argument at some point. And I think what works for a relationship is not whether or not you're fighting, but something that you're about to touch on, because I can feel it coming. And that's that, do you know your partner well enough to figure out how to avoid the fights, or what are the pitfalls, or what is going to, as you said, trigger the drama?
Mm.
And how do you manage that? Because in any kind of situation, you can make an active, you just said to me, how do I respond to you wanting to make a call? And I can make a call based on, am I going to engage in this argument, because I know what's going to come if I do, or choose another option. Do you want to take the red pill or the blue pill, you know, every time? And I think a relationship is about how well do you know your partner, do you respect them well enough to find a way around it? Or if you feel like a fight, and sometimes people just do, you're going to go for it.
Mm.
And it normally doesn't end well, I think, for anybody.
In many situations where we have had a woordwisseling, or call it a fight, we were able to park the situation until a time where we were able to talk about it. If you could put that into words to describe to someone what that would mean when you are having a heated conversation where both of you are not in the frame of mind to resolve or to find answers, how would you explain that to someone?
You know, I've always found it very hard to go, you know, some people say you should count to 10 or count to 100 when you're upset.
That's a long time.
I think it just doesn't work for me. Mm. But I do think that it's the same kind of mindfulness that you might apply to what you're eating, or if you are trying to quit smoking, or what's going to happen to me on the road today. I think if there's a sense of mindfulness around, if you can feel the argument coming, mm-hmm. you're making a decision whether you engage or not, because it's like anything else. It takes two to tango. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's hard if somebody comes at you, but one has to make a decision about whether you can engage or not. And am I going to decide that Nova, like my stuntman Mark, so this is, I'm going to draw the line in the sand, and are you going to engage in a fight or not? And I think perhaps over a span of 5 or 10 years, if you're just tired of having to avoid arguments the whole time, then find another partner, you know, or go it alone. But I think we were making choices the whole time about what the next step's going to be. It's not fated. You know, somebody says something to you, you choose how you're going to respond. Mm-hmm. It's like it's like the lady at the shop. She's busy with your packet at Pick and Pay, and you're doing the groceries. And you can either be nice to her and say thank you, or you can be caught up in your own world and be on your cell phone and march off. And for every action, there's a response.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in a relationship. You're making a choice about whether you're going to be dick back the next morning because there was an argument the previous night.
Do you remember our first fight?
My idea of the first fight might not be the same as yours. I mean, there are a couple that stand out, but none that I would like to discuss here on this forum.
You pointed out to me...
Oh, you're just going to bring it up anyway,
oh, yeah,
even though I'm trying to...
I'm all for the trigger.
Okay.
I remember you pointing out that... And you were joking at the time. You had a smirk, you had a little smile. Mm. And you pointed out that you were just like your mom.
Yeah, I remember that. And I'll tell you what's interesting about that, right, is you remember it as being a first fight 7 or 8 years later. And this is just another example of blue pill or red pill, because you could have at that point said, you know what, this guy is making stupid jokes and he's not the one for me, right? You could have said he's not the one for me. And 7 or 8 years ago, you could have decided it's, and you would have been somewhere completely different today. You know, you would have been with a different person, perhaps living in a different city, whatever the case might be. And even something as small as that, like that fight that you're referring to, every decision you make is going to lead you in a different path.
Am I like my mom?
In some ways, yeah.
But at the time, at the time when you said it, I could feel how I was so frustrated with you because it's obviously a pocket for me, you know? Because in my heart, 7 years ago, I didn't want to be like my parents. I wanted to be like me. And here I meet this guy, and all I want him to see is my watermelon-ness. And he goes, oh, you're just like your mom, you know? And it set off, that was a trigger for me, and it made me really upset, and it made me really angry. I can also tell you and guarantee you my response must have been so bad or wicked.
Which is fairly dramatic.
That you've never, ever said it again. We've never, ever had a difference around that. And I mean, my perception and feeling has already changed around that.
But isn't that like anything in a relationship? If you know that something is going to hurt somebody's feelings, are you going to keep going back?
Sometimes. It's not nice, but that's why people fight.
I don't do that. I know you don't.
Yeah, I know you don't, but I'm saying that's why people fight. You fight because you go back to something that hurts someone because you're cross or you're angry or you want to show them, you know? So if you're the type of fighter that enjoy seeing your partner hurt because you have a trigger moment and you want to point their attention to something where you don't get your cranny or sinny, then you're going to press on that button again, you know? I'm not always that fighter. You know, I usually gets diffused here by the diplomat. Or, you know, we say, let's close the chapter and discuss it later. It's for another time. What did you say earlier? Because we had a difference about something and you had it mooi gesê. There's a time and a...
I said there's a time and a place for everything. And I will sometimes, whether it's with you or somebody else I'm having a disagreement with, I will say that now it's not that I don't want to discuss this any further. Not that I'm being a poopball about it. I'm saying right now I don't want to discuss this any further for a bunch of different reasons. Can we pick it up
later
at a later stage? That's a nice way of saying of counting down to 100 and cooling off. But also comes with age. You know, I didn't think like that when I was 21. You know, and like with anything else in life, you learn and you do things differently as you move along.
Do you find that every time you have called it quits or time out on a heated discussion fight, that later on you could pick it up again and be quieter, sane, more informed?
Yeah, if it's something that I was right about, you know, if the other party was wrong, then yes, it's something I'll pick up again.
I think he's making a mistake. I was never wrong. I was just asking a question. Do you think it's better later to pick it up at a later stage?
Yeah, I don't think fighting ever works. That's my Zen answer, and I believe in it. I think it's stupid and it's infantile.
Stupid
and,
is a bad word.
And all it does is hurt people's feelings and stuff things up. So I don't think arguing is ever helpful. I think it's an emotional vent, and I think it's an immature way of dealing with something.
We've never argued in public. Like no one has ever said, excuse me, can you guys please?
No.
No. I was asked about that the other day by a close friend.
What did they ask you?
They asked me about fighting, and I said, we're going to record a cast. By the way, the reason I'm doing this is because next week, based on the last podcast that Ian and I have recorded, psychologist Janine Bull, she's coming in to talk about a specific question that we were asked around fighting. So this mommy clicked on our previous podcast. She listened to it. She also speaks to how her partner and her don't often get along. And then she said something that worried me, and it was around conflict or arguing or around fighting. And she says she's got a young baby, her and her partner often fights, and she is terrified that he might leave her. So because there was a lot of things that was a poor way lichter in for me, you know, she was concerned about a lot of things. I just thought, let me hand this over to someone who is knowledgeable and that can help. So we're going to hand that question to psychologist Janine Bull. She's coming in next week to unpack it and to deal with it for us. Because I think the feeling that this mommy have is not unique. I think we've all felt a little bit insecure or new baby. You don't know how to breastfeed. You don't know where you're at. Insecurities around going back to work. I mean, there's a lot of feelings around that.
This is the problem with fighting, though, is that, and I'll bet you, if you look back on arguments that you've had with me or 100 other people, is that you say things afterwards that you regret because it's in the heat of the moment. And the problem with my personality type is that is that I can't separate the stuff that was in the heat of the moment and the stuff that's legit. Mm. So it sticks and it stays. And that's why arguing is always a stupid idea. Because
so you feel like you keep a, not a grudge, but you remember.
Yeah.
See, I don't. I mean, I don't remember fighting so much that in the workplace I'll have a disagreement with someone professionally about something, and then tomorrow I'll forget about it and I'll greet them the same way I've done each day of the year, and I'll realize, oh, they still hurt because I've forgotten about it, you know? I've forgotten about having a disagreement or saying something that was maybe out of line professionally. You know, it's not about people's character. It's about the work. But I often have that.
I mean, I remember managing a team of 35 people in a corporate job that I had before I went and started my own businesses. And I remember in some of those conversations with my staff that for whatever reason I might have been upset about something, or they were upset at the time, or the conversation was about something that was upsetting. Mm. And what I found hard afterwards was not that I might have hurt their feelings. It wasn't about that. It was more about that when you argue and fight and get upset, that that veneer that one has is gone, and they get to see a side of you that you probably don't want other people, that you don't want a lot of people to see. And I remember afterwards, I think, I wish I hadn't been that upset. And then when you get that angry, that you can kind of feel, you like, I get hot in my face and I can feel my heart rate increasing, my tongue goes dry. And I remember being in a couple of heated conversations like that with staff where I wasn't upset that I dealt, that we'd brought the issue up. Mm. What upset me was that they'd seen that side,
right,
that veneer was shattered, because that's hard to get back. It's different, I think, in a relationship, you know somebody intimately, but if it's somebody, if you're listening to this podcast and you've got people who report into you for whatever reason, once they've seen that side, that is, I think, almost impossible to rebuild. I mean, I remember the times that I had managers who flipped out on me, properly flipped out, and I've never forgotten it, and it made me scared or careful around them 10 years later, you know, because you see something in somebody which I think can be scary, depending on the person's temper, of course.
Do you think in a relationship you can reverse that? How, like, you can love someone unconditionally still, even though they've said really bad things in a heated discussion, and
that depends on person to person. For me, I can't, because I don't forget.
So do you have,
I can,
like,
forgive? I forgive
easily.
Do you
have 15 years of layers of?
Yeah, I think that, but you spoke of pockets and triggers earlier.
Right.
And I think it's those memories that lead to those triggers in those pockets.
Mm.
I think it's different for different people. Like, some people you'll know will be in a marriage for 50 years and they've put up with horrendous levels of violence we're not even discussing here, like not even argument. They'll put up with violence for 50 years because they just can't extract themselves from it. And I think it's different for different people, you know. Like, some people can say, genoeg is genoeg, and some people, for whatever reason, can't, because we're all different.
One of the things that resonated with me with a young mom that wrote to us, and the question that we're unpacking with a professional next week, or in the next podcast, I should say, it reminded me of having my first baby, because I'll never forget, I would fight with you only on a Thursday. Do you remember?
No, I don't, but I think new babies and the fatigue that comes with, and I don't want to say hormones, because then people get, it's not a woman bashing thing, but there's a lot that goes on with babies, you know, and that time in one's life, and I think it is a stressful time for people.
I've never
asked you
this.
It's a pretty time, but it's a stressful time. It's stressful for money for a lot of people. It's stressful for love for people. Yes, much. I mean, our youngest baby is just got over the 2 year mark. And for 2 years, it's been night feeds and nappies and...
Daddy, she doesn't call me.
It's hard, you know? And people, you're going to lash out in traffic or at Woolies, Meritani, Vatinyo, Stomp Meritroli, or whatever. People...
you know. Do a lot of grocery shopping because you mentioned that. But I've never asked you this about our first baby. Because I...
And you thought this would be a good time, right?
Yeah, because, like, hey, man. Okay. But I remember only fighting with you on a Thursday because I was down.
I'm sure it was 7 days a week and not one.
No, but. I think your diary entries were incorrect. But what went through your mind as a young mom who has just given birth to a small baby, and now the baby's already 3 weeks old and I'm fighting with you? What went through your mind? Because you never responded to me. At the time, you were usually quiet or seemed very patient, or you bit your tongue.
It was probably a case of, well, I can't leave you now because the baby's too small. Do you know what I mean? So
that's not even funny. Well,
but you know, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. You've got to be.
You can't say that here.
You've got to be mindful of. At least
depending
on your personality
leave?
Type, mindful of people's circumstances.
Did you want to leave?
Like, I understand
you're
if somebody's tired.
You're not answering me.
You know what
Did
I mean?
You want to leave?
Did I?
Yes. No.
No, exactly. So then I didn't want to leave.
But did you think about it?
No, I did not think about it.
What were you thinking about when I was fighting with you?
This feels like you're...
No, I'm just asking. Okay. So surely you thought of something
that
you...
I don't remember.
Yo, that's like dodging the bullet. Oh, my word.
I cannot confirm nor deny... any memory around that.
Did it hurt you?
What?
Me shouting.
Of course, it hurts anybody. Anybody would be hurt by it.
But I just gave birth to a baby for you and me.
I'm really impressed at how you just made that all about yourself.
Yes.
But what is your question?
My question is...
Did it hurt? Yes, of course it did.
What did you want to say to me?
I would have... I don't know.
Why did you keep quiet? Why did you choose to be quiet and bite your lip? Why didn't you just say, hey, woman, pull yourself... To get, I don't know.
Not me. Maybe another guy.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that then, you know? There's a new baby in the house.
It's hard.
Of course it is.
But it's easier. It gets easier, right? When they're older.
Definitely gets easier.
Why do you think that is? Is it because we get used to each other's ups and downs? Or is it because the baby gets older?
No, it's because you get to sleep more. I think the lack of sleep. I think
it surely can't just be a sleep thing.
I think it is.
Is it not? Is it not? Because I think it's because I have gotten to learn and know my partner's trigger points, and I've also become more compassionate. Yo, I'm using these big words while I've got smiley face across from me. because I've learned that compassion will maybe. That maybe you also have a heart that can ache, you know? So I've become more kind around those Thursdays. So maybe every second Thursday instead of every week, I would say this. My voice.
This is my answer. I would say now that I've thought through it, I would say that and a lot of people.
Were you thinking now throughout?
Yeah. I would say that because I want to give you a substantive answer that means something.
Mm.
And I would say this. I think a lot of partners battle when there's a baby in the house.
Mm.
And I think it's, and I'll just call it as it is because I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
I think there's lack of sleep.
Okay.
I think there's stress.
Mm.
I think there is, I'm tired.
Mm.
I think there are hormones. I think it's the pressure. It's hard for a lot of people. And I think a relationship is hard, but I think bringing a baby into it is extremely hard. And I think a lot of people don't leave then. Because there's a child,
mm.
you know, and I think it's hard for a lot of people at the time. And I think that, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you're married or dating, like you can leave anytime you want, if you want. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how do you deal with conflict and how do you uplift the other partner? And it's
yes.
and in a relationship, whether it's about fighting or about what's your favorite TV show, it's all about having empathy for your partner and caring. That's why you're there, right? You're there because you care. So you want to make it nice for people.
Mm.
And that's what it's about at the end of the day. You want to make it nice. And that's why you choose to not fight or you choose to stay or you choose to change the nappy or whatever example you're using. And I think that's what it's all about is how one responds to an argument depends on how you want your partner to feel. And if you care for somebody, why would you want to make them feel slack? You want to make them feel nice, right?
Mm.
It's like you were saying, you want to start your day feeling good. That's what you started the podcast saying that.
Mm.
And I think that's what relationships are about. You're in it because you want to make the other person feel nice.
Does it get
or you want them to make you feel nice.
Mm. Does it get any easier the older our kids get? I mean, now our eldest daughter, I'm a stepmom, our eldest daughter is 14. Do you think that 14 comes with different or lighter problems than our two-year-old?
I think we have it easy because she's been raised well.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of people who really battle with 14 and 15-year-olds. Mm. I tell you what, I think it's easier. The fatigue lightens, but then there are other concerns. Like there's always some, like if you're always worried, like what happens next and where they're going to go and are they safe and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
And I know you thought I was joking about it earlier, but I really believe that the lack of sleep like messes with people's heads. It does mine, absolutely. If you don't get into REM and you're just sort of 3-4 hours broken sleep all the time, man, it's like Chinese water torture, the dripping tap.
The biggest change moment for me becoming a mom was being responsible for someone, because I've never thought, oh, I'm going to get married and then my husband's going to be responsible for me. I never had that mindset. I always felt I'm going to get married for love, and because I want a really great dad and for my children, and I want an awesome guy in my life. But for me, the biggest change moment was that day that I realized that the baby is now next to me and the pregnancy is finished and there's three of us instead of just two of us.
Yeah, you can't just like pop out the house quickly, you know what I mean?
It was massive. And it was massive the first day I left the house without her. I remember you guys sending me to go and walk to the park. And I think I walked halfway and then walked back home again because I couldn't be without her because I wasn't pregnant anymore, but the baby wasn't with me, you know? She was at the house. What was the biggest change moment for you as a dad? If you look back at 14 and a half years of having small and having bigger children around you, what's your biggest change moment?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, I'll tell you what obviously that you can speak to responsibility and other people's safety and having to make sure they're looked after and fed. I'll tell you what I enjoy the most. What I enjoy the most is when one of my four kids says something that surprises me or that I've never heard them say. So our eldest, the 14-year-old who's in Corsairs, called me a couple of weeks ago. I thought she was phoning for money. And she phoned to say, I just want to know how your day was today. And I was waiting for, oh, by the way, can I please get like an e-wallet? Like that kind of thing, you know. Mm. And then our youngest baby just the other day just randomly turned around and said, Daddy, I love you. And I wasn't even asking for it. It speaks to them having been raised well, but there were also beautiful moments that you don't see coming. You know, I like those surprises a lot.
Someone's listening today to this podcast and they have an idea of the perfect marriage and perfect relationship. And some are thinking, I don't want to fight. I'm so tired of this. I'm exhausted of this rut. You know, how do you encourage another dad today?
I mean, I want to say this about the perfect relationship, because like I know some people who say to me, and my husband and I have never spent a night apart. Now, my wife and I probably share a bed maybe four nights a week maximum, because we're always in Cape Town or Johannesburg or Durban or whatever it might be for work. Mm-hmm. And I think it's different strokes for different folks. You know, like some people just operate differently. I want to just reiterate that I don't think that there's a perfect solution that works for everyone. Mm-hmm. You just got to be happy at the end of the day. You have one life, you know, so like make the most of it. You know, if there's something you can do to make it better, then be accountable and we need to sit in Vachni, you know, be the change you want to see, you know.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. Are you happy?
Let me quickly think. Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Okay, good.
Love you. You can say you love me.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm still here. Hi.
Yo, this guy. You call security to let him out. See you at home.
Love you too. Bye.
Baby Brunch is made just for you by Bright Rock. Becoming a parent changes everything, from your sleep schedule to your finances. That's why Bright Rock's Needs Match Life Insurance lets you precisely craft a solution to cover your specific needs. From protecting your income to covering your debts and your child's future. Because you pay just for the cover you need, you can get up to 40% more cover. So get the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. Go to brightrock.co.za. BrightRock Life is an authorized financial services provider and registered insurer. Terms and conditions apply.